This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Amanda Banks, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Amanda Banks.
And I'm Scott Kump. Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And now the pro-life news.
The following is from recent statements by Allen County Right to Life regarding the business practices of Dr. Ulrich Klopfer, who performs abortions in South Bend, Gary, and Fort Wayne. In September, we notified the public that Dr. Klopfer failed to report abortions on 13-year-old girls in Lake and Allen counties within the time required by state law. This law is intended to speed up child abuse investigations. In recent weeks, the South Bend Tribune featured two front-page articles on failures to report 13-year-old abortions. In October, 17 women in Allen County filed nearly 500 consumer complaints with the Indiana Attorney General against Klopfer after reviewing improperly completed reports supplied by the Indiana Department of Health. Recently in Gary, Indiana, 20 women submitted over 600 similar complaints against Klopfer with the Attorney General. Now, the South Bend Tribune reports that Klopfer is scheduled to appear before the Indiana Medical Licensing Board on January 22nd. Furthermore, local physician Dr. Jeffrey Kly notified Klopfer in a letter dated December 12th that he is terminating his relationship as physician designee or backup doctor effective December 31st because of Klopfer's handling of 13-year-old abortions. Allen County requires doctors practicing but not residing in the county to have a relationship with a local doctor who can legally practice in Allen County. State law requires abortion doctors to have local admitting privileges or to have entered into an agreement with a physician who has admitting privileges at a hospital in the county or an adjacent county concerning the management of possible complications of the services provided. Kly, a pro-life physician who is board certified in obstetrics and gynecology, became Klopfer's physician designee in September 2010 out of a desire to protect the health and safety of any woman who may have a complication due to an abortion. According to Mike Fichter, president and CEO of Indiana Right to Life, quote, "The abortionist must find a new backup doctor by the time he performs his first abortion in January, or he will be out of compliance with state and county laws," close quote.
I'm Amanda Banks, and today I'm pleased to have a returning guest, Mr. Ryan Baumbarger, with us. Many of you had the opportunity to hear Ryan's terrific keynote address at this year's Allen County Right to Life Banquet in October. Ryan is the Chief Creative Officer at the Radiance Foundation. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
It is good to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Well, in the past, the Radiance Foundation has gained perhaps most of its notoriety from a different media campaign. The first campaign, or the first major one, was focused on abortion and Planned Parenthood. And actually, we spoke about that one the last time you were on our show. The name of that campaign is TooManyAborted.com. It's a terrific ad campaign. If you would go to that website, if you haven't already, I would highly recommend that. Just some terrific work there. Again, that's TooManyAborted.com. But there's a lot more to the Radiance Foundation than just about being pro-life and against abortion. You're also incredibly pro-adoption, and that's what we're going to focus on today. For our listeners who may not be familiar with you yet, Ryan, why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about where this passion for adoption comes from?
Yes, absolutely. You could say it comes from my parents, from my family of 15. I have six brothers and six sisters, and my parents, back during the 60s when they were married, they knew before they got married that they wanted to adopt. In fact, my mom made a promise to God when she was temporarily abandoned and left in a children's home for a year that she would become a mommy to those who were supposedly unwanted. And they followed through on that, obviously. They had three of, you know, biologically related children, and then they adopted 10, and I was the first one. And each of us have very difficult stories. I was born as a result of rape. And I had other siblings who were involved in situations of abuse, physical and sexual abuse, and many of us written off as unwanted, and therefore we'd be unloved, and it's the exact opposite. That I grew up in a family home full of love that defied the myth of the unwanted child. So, You could say I'm slightly partial toward adoption, and I love the beauty and the purpose that it unleashes, and today I'm also an adoptive father, so that's why I am so very passionate about adoption.
Hmm. Well, this November, as part of Adoption Awareness Month, you launched a brand new media campaign entitled AdoptedAndLoved.com. Again, that's AdoptedAndLoved.com. So why don't you tell us, Ryan, just about the components of this campaign, really what comprises it?
Well, you know, as a creative professional, I used to work in the ad agency world, and I love creating content that illuminates the truth about a variety of different issues, which is what the Radiance Foundation does. And when it comes to adoption, I found, especially hearing from executive directors of pregnancy care centers, they had no resources. They had very few visual resources to use as persuasive tools. And I noticed this right off the bat because adoption, sadly, is often the afterthought or it's never thought of. When you're talking about the life issue and the pro-life battle that we're fighting in this country, it's like speaking a sentence but not finishing the sentence if you're not including adoption. So the Radiance Foundation wanted to launch AdoptedAndLoved.com to share adoptees' perspective on what it means to be adopted and loved, and that is the typical experience. And also, you know, deal with these misconceptions about adoption, all these myths about adoption, and who better to hear from than those who are the recipients of such a beautiful gift, the adoptees themselves. And so we created new videos, new social media memes, and there will be new content added all the time. But it's really a resource for those expectant mothers and fathers who don't have any concept of what adoption means and want to be able to find out directly from the adoptees' mouths and from their hearts what it really means to be adopted. And so that they're not so fearful of making a plan, a loving plan like that. And so we really wanted to create a website that provided resources to answer some of those questions.
Wonderful. Folks can obviously go to AdoptedAndLoved.com to view these remarkable videos that are just so touching. They will really just tear at your heartstrings, I think, as they did mine. But Ryan, are you capable at the Radiance Foundation of putting any of these on television, or how, you know, is it going to be primarily on the internet?
Well, three of the spots that we started off with actually were a partnership between Real Options Pregnancy Medical Clinics, which is located in California, and Bethany Christian Services, the world's largest adoption organization. And we started off creating 30-second spots. There are three of them. In fact, any church organization that is interested in licensing them can contact friendsofrealoptions.net. That's where this began, and we wanted to expand on that and create more of this content that others can use. And yes, there will be more spots that others will be able to use. We are really looking forward to the turn of the new year, 2014, to be able to broadcast some of these spots to help raise awareness about adoption and continue to dismantle the myth of the unwanted child, because we find that even in 2013, it's amazing the myths that endure decade after decade, and all it takes is a sentence or a 30-second spot to completely shatter that. And I love when I see someone being illuminated and they respond so positively to this content. So we're looking forward to being able to broadcast it as well as spread this message via social media.
A couple of those messages you just mentioned, these myths really that get ingrained in our culture and then they're so hard to get rid of. I think just even in your press release about this campaign, a couple of quotes really stuck out to me, and I wanted to get your reaction to them and help, you know, kind of unpack what you're saying there. And one kind of key word is unplanned. A couple of things you said were that sometimes in life, the best things are unplanned, and also that you want to turn the unplanned into a loving plan. What's the myth there? And just tell us more about that idea, Ryan.
Well, turn the unplanned into a loving plan is the tagline of those first three 30-second spots. And that's really what adoption is. I mean, there are a lot of ways you can describe adoption, but primarily it is an act of love. And for an expectant mother, they're often propagandized, particularly by the abortion industry and by those who have a particular bias and agenda against adoption. They're told that you're not a loving parent. How could you possibly, you know, give your child up? That's the phrase they use, which I despise that phraseology, that you're not giving anything up. You're giving a gift,
right?
Not only to the child, but to the family. And so most of life is about semantics. And we're trying to, you know, introduce these words and these phrases that really do describe and define adoption. You know, it is a loving plan. It is a loving option. It does, you know, unleash purpose and hope and justice and love and all these things. And so that's why we want to really take on the vernacular that's being used so that we're accurately describing. And when you look at the statistics, too, you see the majority of adoptees, the majority of adoptive families, and of birth mothers who consider it a win-win-win situation, and the statistics bear that out. And I think it's important. Mainstream media, anytime you see adoption, it is so, it's demonized. You see horror movies like The Orphan, and you see in news media, anytime a foster parent is found guilty of abusing a child or somebody who's adopted happens to, you know, commit some sort of crime, that's the only time you ever seem to hear about adoption. And it's tragic because that is not the typical adoption experience.
Well, I think bringing those facts to light is so important. You also spoke some in your release about social justice, and that's one of those phrases that especially is used on the left. But you say this is true social justice, that is, adoption is social justice. What do you mean by that, Ryan?
Well, for a lot of things. I mean, you're upholding life, and any time you elevate human dignity, that is an act of justice. And you're right, you do have many on the left who I think have perverted what social justice means. You know, it's been championed by the Catholic Church for centuries and by the church for centuries, but particularly the Catholic Church. And yet today it usually requires stripping away the rights from one group in order to give it to another. And so when we look at adoption and we look at how it unleashes justice, one way of looking at that is you want to encourage expectant mothers who may be considering abortion to choose life, but sometimes the best parenting choice that they can make is making a plan for adoption, because children who grow up in single female-led homes are 5 times more likely to grow up in poverty. Mm-hmm. So it is not the solution to poverty, but it is a part of the solution to poverty, and many people don't even think of it in that context. You know, children who grow up in intact married homes with a mother and a father fare better on so many different factors, whether you're talking educationally, socially, spiritually, materially, and these things are important. And so in the context of social justice, that's how we look at adoption, because it is a beautiful act of love and justice. And you know, we want to kind of fit it into that the very trendy sort of sense that so many have, from college campuses to churches and social service organizations across the country. And I think it fits very nicely in with what truly is social justice.
Absolutely. Very well said. Before we wrap up, Ryan, I just wondered, as you were creating these resources and this campaign, you're someone who, as you said at the beginning of our time together today, you've had adoption kind of in every area of your life, both coming from an adoptive home and now being an adoptive father. You couldn't be more pro-adoption, I'm sure. But just in the creating of this campaign, I wondered if how your heart was touched by the stories. You worked with some amazing families to make these videos and things. How were you touched and maybe even changed through the creation of this campaign?
Well, you're constantly reminded whenever you create stories like this and you capture these amazing tales from these families and from adoptees, is how limitless God's ability to perform the miraculous is. Mm. And you look at so many of these stories. You look at stories of impossibility of people from broken backgrounds. And I'm not just talking about adoptees. Sometimes you have, you know, parental couples who've dealt for years and years with infertility and the brokenness of that. First of all, I'm just mushy anyway. I ugly cry during movies. But there are so many amazing families. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there are more stories that will come out month after month. But I'm just torn. I'm torn by how God just makes the impossible happen all the time. And that's why it's so important, as Christians especially, to be able to tell these stories, to be able to tell how the impossible was achieved. And so I'm affected because, you know, stories like the Lot family, and you hear the individual stories, these children brought from such brokenness, and not every child who's adopted is brought from extreme brokenness, so I don't want to get that across, but these stories are powerful, and you can't help but be changed. Even someone like me, who has lived and breathed adoption all his life, I'm just constantly reminded of a God who achieves the impossible for those who believe all the time. And I love it. And I never get tired of seeing it.
Awesome. Well, please, listeners, go to adoptedandloved.com. Again, adoptedandloved.com, and view these incredible videos. They really will have a profound impact, I think, on how you think about adoption. And as Ryan has communicated today, just the potential for those who choose adoption, for the birth moms, for the adoptive parents, and for the adopted children. It's a wonderful option, and it is the most loving thing you can do. I think it's just right up there with sainthood. I mean, being an adoptive parent and a birth mom who would choose that for their child out of love. Both are such loving options, such loving decisions. Ryan, thank you for sharing your heart with us today and for creating this really terrific campaign. I look forward to just keeping up with it. And as you said, you're going to continue to release new things as the months go on. We'll look forward to seeing those at adoptedandloved.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Life so irreplaceable. I can't imagine life without you. It's just unthinkable. There's no one like you. No one like you. You're 1 in 7 billion. There's no one like you. No one like you. You're 1 in 7 billion.
Last week, we brought you the first half of an interview between Kathy Humbarger and Ruth Gurdian. Today, we bring you the conclusion to that conversation.
This is Kathy Humbarger in the studio with you today, and my very special guest is Ruth Gurdian, and she's telling us a remarkable story about the Lord placing on her heart this project that seemed impossible, to put a billboard next to, right in the backyard almost, of the largest abortion provider in the state of Indiana, and that would be the Planned Parenthood facility at the intersection of 86th and Georgetown Road in Indianapolis, where nearly 5,000 little boys and girls are dismembered and discarded with surgical waste each year. These little boys and girls will never have a birthday. And Ruth had this vision, if you will, to get the message out to desperate women. And I am looking at the fruits of your labor, Ruth. I'm looking at the billboard, and it is absolutely precious. And we're going to be posting this on the Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life websites. Could you describe it to our listeners?
Well, it's a beautiful, simple billboard. Of a beautiful baby. Actually, he's a baby boy on a mild mint green blanket. At the top of his head to the right is the word fragile. That's the message.
Right.
That's the message to the women who can't escape this sign coming from certain directions on Georgetown Road and 86th Street. If they turn the corner, they'll see it. When they go in the driveway and around the driveway to the back, they see it. And then we advertise on it the Gabriel Project logo, the word pregnant, need help, and then a number to call. And that's all there is. But it features this lovely, lovely baby.
Is this the Gabriel Project's phone number, or is it a hotline, or what number did you choose to put on the billboard?
Well, it's the number to the Gabriel Project, which is located just up the road. If the women call, they have a very short distance to go to get help of all kinds, and an ultrasound they're allowed to look at. And it's those ultrasounds that change minds.
Exactly. Depending on the study you look at, somewhere in the neighborhood of 90 to 95% of abortion-minded women, these are women who've already decided that they're going to have an abortion, change their minds after they've seen an ultrasound. So that is a very important tool in the toolbox for defending life. But we have to get the women to the place where they can see this picture of their little baby. And I know Eileen is available around the clock for anybody with any kind of a need that will lead to saving a baby. Have you spoken with Eileen since the sign's gone up?
Well, yes, we have. And the signboard was blessed by Father Glenn O'Connor from St. Susanna. We at our church call it the St. Susanna billboard, Right to Life mm-hmm. billboard. And we had it blessed, and there was a gathering. We've gotten help keeping this billboard up.
Wonderful.
From other parishes around about. And they've been very generous. And actually, after, you know, the signing of the contract and paying a certain amount of months up front to just give it a good shove off, it hasn't cost me hardly anything.
Oh, my goodness, that is amazing.
That's another sign of the hand of God. When he gives you an idea, he's not going to let it fail. And you have to make that leap of faith to believe that.
That was going to be my very next comment, Ruth, and that is, had it not been for your step of faith, this billboard would never have come to fruition. The Lord can use any one of his children or any tool that he needs or however he wants to do it, but he chose you and your faithful prayer over the years to make this come about. And I think that is a big part of the story behind this billboard that you've just shared with us. And that is a willing heart and a faithful heart who trusts in the Lord to provide when he asks us to do something. What words would you give our listeners who are concerned about abortion, heartbroken about abortion, but think it's just one little person, what can I do?
It only takes sometimes one person. And if it's spectacular, it's not my doing. It's that I just heard this command or this question even. It was just a question. Why not you?
Mm.
And I think this is what we all should be listening for, especially in this Holocaust.
Exactly.
This horrible Holocaust. And we, in 40 years' time, have gotten numb and semi-asleep to what's going on around us, just maybe as the German people were when the boxcars were rumbling by full of people heading for death. We'll have to answer for this, and perhaps soon, if we don't stop this law, turn it on its head and get it off the books.
Well, I think the Lord is going to allow us to see victory in this very noble fight by touching one heart at a time, just like he did yours, Ruth. And it is my prayer that everyone listening would sincerely ask the Lord, what would you have me do? And then listen and look for opportunities. We serve a big God, and nothing is too big for him to accomplish. And I believe he delights in using his children to accomplish his plans. Ruth, this has been an absolutely amazing story, and I've enjoyed hearing every step along the way that you've shared with us. But do you have any final words you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, if this was the reason I was born and the thing I was meant to do as a plan, I'm very grateful for this one opportunity to help save lives. Even if it's just a few, I don't know how many have been, you know, turned away from the abortion they were contemplating if they saw the billboard. But even if it's just a few, I'll be very, very, very grateful for those little lives.
Well, I think we probably won't know until eternity how many hearts and lives you've touched by stepping out in faith and being obedient to the Lord. And I would encourage our listeners to visit the Indiana Right to Life website. It will also post this on Facebook so that you can see the billboard and how special and touching it is. Ruth, do you plan to continue with the pro-life message on this billboard for as long as you can?
Well, At first I thought perhaps a year would be all that we could do, but now I know that a women's health center is going to be on the doorstep mm-hmm. of this very same Planned Parenthood, and I think it would be a continued blessing to have that billboard up for people to see it when they go into that clinic and know why they're going there.
If anyone wants to help keep this billboard up, how would they make a donation? Would it be through the Gabriel Project?
No. Even though we're advertising for Gabriel, no, it's still the St. Susanna Right to Life billboard. If they wanted to make a contribution and keep it up for as long as we have Planned Parenthood around,
right?
I should say, they can call St. Susanna for the address or look the address up and send their contribution to the billboard fund at St. Susanna's Church. It's in Plainfield.
In Plainfield. And would you happen to have that phone number?
839-3333.
317-839-3333.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ruth Gurdian, for sharing with us your story. It certainly is a remarkable one. We hope that there will be hearts and lives touched as a result of your sharing your experience. And again, I encourage the listeners to ask the Lord how He wants to use you to bring an end to this awful Holocaust, not only in Indiana, but across the country and around the world. Thank you, Ruth, and God bless you as you continue to be obedient to Him. And thank you for the wonderful example you've set and the challenge that you've laid out for each one of us.
Thank you so much for letting me talk to you.
If you or someone you know is in a crisis pregnancy, call 877-791-5475. If you or someone you know is dealing with grief and pain after an abortion decision, call 877-791-5475. You'll be referred to a crisis pregnancy center in your area, a place where free and confidential services are available. That's 877-791-5475.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to iChooseLife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.